This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with former jockey Jeff Runco and present trainer at Charlestown after a banner seven stakes win on the big card here at Charlestown. Take me back to your riding career. I remember you riding around Delaware Park in mid-'80s, I guess, or early 80s?
Yeah, it was early 80s to mid-'80s. Started out in Louisiana with riding a few horses, and then sent up, got an agent that wanted me to ride some horses for Bud Delp up in Maryland. So we went up there, and the first day we were in there, I actually had three winners on the card the first day I came into Bowie Racetrack. And we had a pretty good career as a bug, riding in Maryland, Delaware, and so forth. I tried a few different tracks as far as that went. Got a little bit heavier as my career went on. Rode some horses here at Charlestown, and that's where I met my wife Susan, and you know, rode a few horses for a few more years until my weight got the best of me.
Yeah, take me through, how did you get to the track? I mean, family into it, or how did you start at the track?
Actually, just because I was small. I was from Nebraska, and that's back when they had Exarban, and I had a friend of the family that had a farm of horses when I was going to, you know, in high school, and I learned to, you know, clean stalls and ride the pony and learn to gallop horses, and that's where I learned. I started out in the Midwest, in Nebraska.
And so Zach Sarban in Nebraska, and then from there, where'd you go?
From there, I went to Louisiana, and that's I rode there with the bug there for a while until I got hooked up. A friend of mine hooked me up with Bud Delp, and that's where I went to Maryland with him.
So when you win three races first day at Bowie, you think, wow, I've made it, I guess.
Yeah, it definitely helped things, you know, go off. We had I had a pretty good bug year. We had quite a few winners with the bug. Rode for the Delps and Ronnie Alfano and a lot of the big guys. And then they went to Delaware, and I rode quite a few there. And you know, after you lost a bug, things got a little bit tougher, and that's when things changed with that and my weight. You know, got a little bit heavy. So you know, I knew I wasn't going to be riding, but so long. But you know, that's kind of how it went.
And then that was retired in 84, I think, maybe. Would that be right?
Somewhere in that area. I can't remember exactly. It's been a while.
So when you retire, you rode your last race at Charlestown. Take me through that, the last ride. Was it a tough decision, or what was that like deciding on it?
Well, it was that's where I met Susan, my wife. You know, she had a few horses, and I was riding a few for her. And, you know, I just after being, you know, fight my weights along, I just started, you know, working with her with the horses. And, you know, we developed, you know, a string of horses together and just, you know, got it to, you know, to grow into what it is today. It's, you know, between the two of us, we've, you know, work hard together, and she's a great asset to me as far as, you know, getting this business going. And, you know, it slowly developed over the years.
So it's a pretty natural process going from a jockey to a trainer.
You know, I guess it was pretty natural. I mean, I liked it. I mean, it just, you know, we started with, you know, seven, and then it went to, you know, nine, and then it went to 11, and then 15 over the years. Then next thing it was 18, and, you know, as the stable grew, and I was around horses more, and my wife, you know, was doing a lot of it before I was. She taught me a lot and showed me a lot, and you know, I paid attention. I galloped horses, and we were getting on our own horses, and you know, you just learn as you go. So at that point, you know, I'd been around horses for, you know, quite some time, and I was around some good trainers when I had the bug, because you know, back then when you had the bug, you rode for trainers and you worked. It's not like it is today. You worked for an outfit. He had a lot of horses. You probably cleaned stalls before we galloped. And then, you know, you learned about doing up horses and legs and everything. So, you know, I had a good, you know, start to, as far as learning about horses before I ever, you know, got to the crib. But it was still a lot of learning. There's always a lot of learning in this business.
Yeah, no doubt. We're learning every day. And your mentor would have been like a guy like Buddy Delp, or who'd you learn the most from?
You know, it's hard to say. I learned a lot. Probably a guy named Dale Burns, who's an older Midwest trainer who kept me under his wing for quite a few years. Him and my wife, definitely my wife. But he was the guy that brought me along. And I'll tell you, we used to, you know, we would go do the Nebraska circuit there. And before that, you know, we would winter down in Oklahoma with, you know, 35 horses, and, you know, me and a few Mexicans, and we would clean all the stalls, and we'd gallop all afternoon. We'd start at 5 in the morning, we'd finish at 5 in the evening, and you learn a lot about horses doing it that way.
Yeah, that's the way to learn, right? Hands on, work all day, don't have anywhere else to go, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and then, but I was young. I didn't care. It was fun. So, you know, we did it. And then, you know, then after I started with Susan, that's when, you know, you learn more of the real, you know, defining things about, you know, training horses, you know, which, you know, and you learn more, you know, as you see things, you know. So that's, and you learn how, you know, just, you know, when I ride the pony up and back every day with my sets and I watch them go. And I, at this point in my career, I'm pretty good at being able to see how these horses are going. And I look at all of them going up and all of them coming back. You know, I've got a radio on. I've talked to my assistants and say, hey, we need to put this one to the side. We need to look at something, or something needs to be looked at when we get back. So, you know, just as you learn to train horses and you learn how to be observant of all the things, you try to catch as much as, you know, as you can to, you know, do the right thing for the horses. So,
yeah. And that experience as a jockey has to pay off as you train horses, right? The being able to get on horses and feeling what they're like and what they can deal with, what they can't deal with, what they're doing, what they're dealing with, I guess.
Yeah, that and after watching them go, I've learned to really see how horses move, and when you see how horses move, and you can tell a whole lot by, you know, how they're doing and how they breathe, and, you know, it's just it just takes time. You know, you have to do it for a while. I mean, you just got to do it for a while and watch the horses go and you know, learn how the horses are, you know, while they're training.
And as a former jockey, does that make you more critical or less critical of jockeys riding your horses or and any horses?
I don't think it makes me more critical, but it helps me help them. Because I go to the gate with them, and I can sit there, and I'm going to say, and they're in the gate with the horse, and I'll say, hey, listen, or I'll see something that the jockey or rider will do at night, and I'll say, you know, you don't need the assistant starter to turn his head for you. Use your rein and keep one hand on the mane and turn your head himself. You help the horse. You can help the horse better than the assistant starter can help the horse. Get his hind end against the back doors, so when they kick it, he doesn't have to back up. He's already against the back doors. Things like that. That part has definitely helped me a lot as far as being able to. We've brought a lot of bug boys along over the years. We had Jose Montano, who was an Eclipse Award winning bug boy from here. And he, you know, I think I taught him a lot, and I tried to teach him a lot. And I watch races, and I can see a lot of times I'll see before they even open the gates, this horse is not going to get off good because of the way he's standing. And I'll talk to the rider after I say, you know, if you'd have done this or done that, I think it would have helped you a lot. And, you know, when we're with the young horses at the gate in the morning, we'll, you know, I'll sometimes get sometimes I'll get off the pony and I'll get up in the gate and I'll say, this is what you need to do. This is how it's going to make you benefit the horse and get the horse out of the gate better. And, you know, so being a rider definitely helped me on that aspect, because some of these young guys just haven't learned. They haven't had enough experience to do that. And if you can help them on those type of things, it's great. And it'll help you tenfold as far as when it comes to race at night.
And you have a great relationship now with Arnaldo Bocachica, who won all seven stakes the other night. How important is that to have a relationship with a kid first? You know, he gets first call rider, and I'm sure he comes in every morning, or, you know, when you need him to breeze horses. How important is that?
It's tremendous. He's, you know, he deserves everything he gets. He's the hardest working leading rider probably in the country. You know, he works every day except maybe Thursday. And, you know, if he needs a day off, he gets it. But, you know, he doesn't mind coming in. And if I'm away, if I'm at the sales or something, I'll say, hey, I'm going to be at the sales. He says, don't worry, I'll make sure everything goes smooth. Because, you know, this is his barn, you know, and he wants to make sure it goes right too. So he's a hardworking guy. We have a great relationship. He can take constructive criticism if something goes wrong, you know, and he's a very good rider. And there's still things that, you know, I can point out to him, and he can handle it and does, you know, what he has to do as far as, you know, what we talk about. Because we talk about races, you know, well ahead of time, especially on breeders' nights and the big nights. You know, we talk about what's going on, and then we'll, you know, if we had a big night of racing, you know, we'll sit down in the morning and say, hey, you know, what happened, or what we could have done, or what we did right, or whatever. So it's a great relationship. That's why, you know, we've had pretty good success there, because we mesh very well together.
Yeah, and he must respect you for the experience you've had as a jockey, I guess, too. That helps.
I think so. Yeah, he knows I know what I'm talking about when it comes to a lot of these things. So, you know, when I tell him something, he takes it to heart, and he's very attentive, you know, as far as paying attention to what we talk about. You know, and there's things that happen that, you know, I'll come back to Rachel and say, okay, you know, if you'd have done this, or you know, I think, you know, you especially, you know, the gate thing is one thing that is important here. So if you know, if you get your horse standing correctly and get them where they need to be, that's really important here. And he knows I stress that. I stress it with all the riders, that the importance of having a horse prepared, you know, in the gate. So that's one thing we talk about some. But Bogus rode enough horse. He knows what he's doing. I don't have to tell him too much. But, you know, periodically we talk about stuff. And we always, when we're in the paddock, one thing about Arnaldo, he's already looked at the race. You know, he knows where the speed is. He knows how the race is going to set up. He does his homework, you know, and, you know, because I ask him, I say, who's the speed in here? And he knows. I've just checked to see if he's looked at the race, and he's already looked at it. So he does a good job.
And from a former jockey's standpoint, when you look at a kid like that's won 2,000 races and leading rider, is it, you must be pride. I mean, not envious, I guess, that maybe you didn't have that kind of career, but more proud of a kid that you could help and work with? Or what's that like as a mentor, kind of looking from the, you know, from an older perspective, I guess?
Well, I'm definitely proud of the guy. I mean, I'm not envious at all, because I tell you what, you couldn't get me to ride. I mean, that's a tough game. You know, I liked riding. I did it. I mean, I was young then, and it was okay. But I definitely like training much better than being a rider. You couldn't make me ride horses again. That's a tough game. Those guys, you know, work hard, and it's difficult, and you know, it's you know, somewhat dangerous too. So, you know, those guys are tough. I give them all credit. All these jockeys that do it, I give them credit. But I respect what he's done. He works hard, like I said, deserves everything he gets. And you know, I can't say enough about him. I'm really proud of the kid and his wife. They're great people, and you know, I can't say enough about him.
Yeah, I always say, people ask me if I miss riding races. I go, well, I miss it like a time of my life. I miss it like college. Like, it was a time of my life that is long gone, right? And you look back on it and think with fond memories, but you don't miss it like you want to go do it again.
No. I mean, I liked it okay then, but I mean, it's still, I just liked the training so much better, because it's not as far as the danger or anything like that. It's just, I enjoy watching and developing young horses. I mean, that's my thing. That's our thing. We've got years and years ago, I decided, you know, claiming and that kind of stuff when we first started, and getting horses from people and stuff, which we do get some. But our thing is buying young horses and developing young horses. That's what we want to do, because it's so rewarding to buy a yearling or breed horses. And my wife bred, you know, a tremendous amount of young horses that are just, you know, phenomenal. You know, North Atlantic, Slip the Cable, Sea Rescue. I can go on and on about some, you know, these all horses were, you know, very, very good horses over in their career. A new 2-year-old we got this year, Coastal Mission. So to bring these horses, especially even from birth or even from the sales, to their racing career is just rewarding. It's a lot of work. I will not kid you. It's a lot of work, but it's tremendously rewarding to see these horses develop into really good horses. So I love it. I really do.
Yeah, your 7 winners. We walked up and down your shed ride. Those horses were young horses you bought as yearlings, foals, and developed them to have a night like that.
Yep. So, you know, we try to find them, and hopefully we try to pick out the right ones, and we've done okay doing that over the years. So we're just going to continue to try to, you know, continue developing these young horses.
And what's the key to your success? I mean, you've built an empire here at Charlestown. I'm not sure anybody's done it to this level, for at least for a long time. What's the key to that?
You know, it's just started slowly, and we've just, you know, developed it over the years. And now that we have kind of made our mark as doing well as the young horses, it's just how it's kind of gone. You know, my wife's had a big part of it, no doubt about it. She continues to help, you know, with a lot of the stuff that I do with this outfit, and as far as the running the farm and breeding the horses and mating the horses, and, you know, giving me some firepower now and then, you know, when we get the young horses that we breed, and it's just, you know, keeping at it, working hard, and, you know, keeping at it. That's what it takes.
And when you win seven races on a card like that, do you take a moment and think, wow, I never thought it would get to this level? Or what's that like?
It's like, wow, did that just happen? You know, because, you know, obviously those things aren't supposed to happen like that. You know, when you have a seven-night stake win, it's just, you know, even that night, like I said, it took a while to sink in. You know, you don't think that everything's going to go right like that on a night like that. You think something, you know, something usually happens, you know, either a bad trip or a stumble out of the gate or anything can happen. But to have it all go right, everything go smooth, everything mesh right, you know, it doesn't really happen that often. So we took it with the, you know, we took it all in, and, you know, at the end of the night, I was so busy, we didn't really even sit down and think about it that night. But the next day, we kind of just looked, me and my wife just kind of looked and said, do you believe that just happened? You know, it was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. It was very exciting. You know, very happy for the owners who buy these young horses, and, you know, and David Rame, Dan Ryan, Hunter Town Farm, you know, or provide us with, you know, really nice young horses to train every year. So it was just a great night.
And for the Fanticipate question of the day, who is your biggest fan, as a jockey or as a trainer? Who is your biggest fan?
Well, my wife for sure. But, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, I don't know really who my biggest fan is. I mean, after the races, you know, we got a lot of text messages, a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls from people all over the country, you know, because a lot of people saw it and they thought it was a pretty neat thing to see, you know, owners, ex-owners, you know, trainers from all over the country. You know, it was, and I'm not sure, but it was just one of those nights. It was just, you know, one of those magical nights. It all worked out.
That's Jeff Runco, journeyman jockey to a Charlestown legend.